Well, folks, happy Easter, everyone. Great to have you with us this morning. I'd like to start off this morning with a little humorous Easter story. Five-year-old Brian had this important part in the Easter program. His words were that he was to say, "He is not here, he is risen." Unfortunately, when it became time for Brian to say his part, he couldn't remember his words. So the teacher whispered the words to him quietly, and then Brian got it, and he took the microphone and boldly exclaimed through the microphone, "He is not here. He is in prison." This is a funny little story, but we do know that Jesus is not in prison. I hope you all took some time on Good Friday to remember that Jesus did so much for us on the cross. He suffered so greatly. And not just to remember what Jesus did, but to thank him for what he did, for the pain and the suffering he went through for our sins. But now it is Easter Sunday, and our focus has shifted from the cross to the tomb. On one occasion, Michelangelo, the great artist, turned to his fellow artists in a spirit of indignation. He said, "Why do you keep filling gallery after gallery with endless pictures on the one theme of Christ in weakness? Christ on the cross. And most of all, Christ hanging dead. Why do you concentrate on the passing episode as if it were the last work? As if the curtain dropped on him with disaster and defeat." That dreadful scene lasted a few hours. But to the unending eternity, Christ is alive. The stone has been rolled away, and he rules and reigns and triumphs. For Christians all over the world, every Sunday really is Resurrection Sunday. The main reason we meet on Sundays is to celebrate the incredible fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus' resurrection really did change everything. It changed the cross from tragedy into triumph. It brought hope for all men, women, and children. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" When we read this passage, we might even wonder why it is even there. I mean, obviously, everyone who goes to church and calls themselves Christians believe in the resurrection, don't they? I came across this study which was done on February in 2017. It was done in Great Britain, and it reveals that of the Christians, 40% of them believe the resurrection happened, but not exactly how the Bible describes it. More shocking was the fact that 25% of Christians said that Jesus' resurrection was not real. That's astounding. Paul exclaims in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, and then in verse 17, And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. And in verse 17 it says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Paul tells us that if Jesus was not raised from the dead, none of us will be raised to life either. He tells us that if Jesus was not resurrected, then we are all still dead in our sins. We will rot in the grave when we die. There is no real lasting hope for us at all if there is no resurrection. Going to church and hearing about Jesus might give us a hope in our daily lives for right now, for the moment, as we might say. But Paul states in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. The Message Bible puts it this way. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. In other words, we're wasting our time coming to church, praying, reading the Bible, and believing. If the resurrection is not true, there's no point in any of that. We only have a temporary hope, really a false hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, 20, everything changes as Paul changes and starts to write his next sentence. It all changes on the one little word at the beginning of the sentence, but in fact. Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Paul starts his sentence off with, but, stop thinking that Jesus wasn't resurrected, for he was. There is no doubt about it. It happened. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Jesus is resurrected. He is alive. It is not fake news. It is factual. We can have hope because of the resurrection. Some have suggested that the resurrection isn't true because the Romans took the body from the tomb. Well, if that's the case, if the Romans really did take the body from the tomb, when the Christians came about and said, look, Jesus is risen just as he said, wouldn't the Romans have brought out the body and said, no, it's not true. Here's the dead body of Jesus. Others have suggested it's not true because the disciples managed to sneak by the Roman guards, those who were guarding the tomb with their lives. They managed to sneak by them and get into the tomb, roll a stone away without them knowing, take the body out, roll the stone back, and they too hid the body. And if that's what happened, why would the disciples go through all that persecution and the cruel death that happened to them if they knew everything wasn't true, that Jesus really died? No, the fact is that Jesus was not in the tomb that first Easter morning, because the resurrection is true. At dawn on that first Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, went to the tomb where Jesus had been placed. While on their way, they asked each other who would remove the large stone from in front of the tomb. But when they arrived at the tomb, they saw the stone was already rolled away. So they went inside, and when the women got inside, they met an angel. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." We can read that in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. Jesus is not here. He is risen just as he told you he would. A great memory I have is whenever I phoned or talked to my mom on Easter morning, I would say, "Jesus is risen," to which she would always declare triumphantly, "He has risen indeed." I know many of you do this. When I say Jesus is risen, or somebody else says Jesus is risen. He is risen. He's alive. That makes all the difference. It changes everything for us. We are not to be pitied for a temporary hope. The resurrection brings us a hope that lasts for this life and throughout eternity. Because of the resurrection, we have new birth. Now that's hope that lasts forever. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we read these words. "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again." Because God raised Jesus from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Peter is saying it's all because of the resurrection of Jesus that we have been born again, that we have new life. Because of the resurrection, we live with great expectation. We live with great hope. The new birth we experience from the resurrection brings freedom from guilt, from shame, and condemnation. Paul said that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of the resurrection, we are in Jesus, and the chains of sin, which bring guilt, shame, and condemnation, have been broken. We are free to live the life God created us to have in him. Because of the resurrection, we live with great expectation, for we are being transformed daily to be more like Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus brings us glorious hope in living life both now and forever for our Heavenly Father. The resurrection brings us an eternal hope for us as we realize Jesus is talking to God on our behalf. We read in Romans 8:34, "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in a place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." How exciting is that? Jesus, because of the resurrection, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, talking to him about us. In a sense, that would be like us working for a big company, and we have a close relationship with the son of the owner of the company. And he's there talking to his father, talking to his dad about us all the time. I mean, when we have a struggle on how to do our job, the son is there to talk to the father and say, hey, Scott's struggling with how to do the job. And the father gives him the instructions for us how to do the job. And then there's those times when Scott messes up on the job and the son goes to the father and says, you know, Dad, Scott really messed up this week at the job, and, well, it cost us $5,000 in losses. But that's okay. Dad, will you just take those out of my salary? The son would be always there to talk to his dad on our behalf. That is the hope the resurrection brings. When we are struggling with sin, the Son, Jesus, talks to our Heavenly Father on our behalf. Jesus prays for his disciples in John chapter 17. He asks the Father to make them one as he and the Father are one. He asks the Father to protect the disciples from the evil one. He asks the Father to make them holy. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still talking to the Father today as he's sitting at his right hand. He's asking the Father for us to protect us from the evil one. He's asking the Father for us to make us holy and one with the Father. You see, when we mess up and when we make our sins, when we sin, Jesus is there talking to the Father and saying, Father, they've messed up again, but I've died. I've paid the price for them. Please forgive them. He's there to say, Father, please don't take them out of the world, but give them what they need to get through each and every day to proclaim the kingdom of God. Father, watch over them. Jesus is there, pleading, interceding, talking to the Father on our behalf. And he doesn't just go before the Father once in a while to talk to him on our behalf. He doesn't go, oh, it's Monday at 4:30. I need to be talking to the Father. That's when I talk to him about Scott. Or it's 3:00 on Tuesday, and that's when I talk to him about Joe. No, the Father goes, Jesus goes to the Father on our behalf continually. All the time. What a blessing. Because of the resurrection, we are filled with hope, for we know that Jesus is always with the Father, lifting us up. Let's go back to the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, and we're going to add verse 4 here as well. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. The resurrection of Jesus brings us hope, because we have an inheritance waiting for us. An inheritance which is an eternity with our Father in heaven. An inheritance which is priceless. One that is beyond change and beyond decay. I mean, I have an inheritance for my children, but it changes because my financial picture might change or something else might change. But our Father's inheritance for us never changes. We are guaranteed an everlasting life in the presence of the Father. The resurrection brings us hope that will last forever. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:23, but there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Doesn't that line up with what Jesus told us in John chapter 14 when he said that he has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us, and then at just the right time, he will come back to take us to be where he is, to resurrect us, to be with him? Because of the resurrection, we have a forever permanent home where there is no more pain, where there is no more suffering or crying or tears. It will be a place filled with joyous celebration to our Father. It will be a place where the Father is present 24/7. In talking to Martha, in John chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus was the first to be resurrected. And through his resurrection, we are assured of our resurrection, which brings us into an eternal presence with our Heavenly Father. No wonder when Paul was writing about death in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 55, he said, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has no victory. Death has no sting for those who believe in the resurrection. To die is to gain when we believe in the resurrection. There is only eternal, glorious life with our Heavenly Father if we believe in the resurrection. There is eternal hope in the resurrection, for it brings us an amazing heritage." Martha believed in the resurrection. Jesus would also ask us, "Do you believe this?" I guess my question would be, how could we not? And even greater than that, why wouldn't we? The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. And because of the resurrection, our lives are full of hope. All because of the resurrection, we have new life, an incredible inheritance, and Jesus continually intercedes on our behalf before the Father. The resurrection did happen. He is alive. Jesus is risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that it didn't end at the cross, that you changed everything by the empty tomb. You took the cross, which the enemy meant for tragedy, and you made it into something great by the resurrection. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive today. We have new life. We have a hope because of the resurrection. We have a life that is eternal now. We have the fact that you are interceding with the Father, Jesus, right now because you're alive. You're with him. And you intercede on our behalf all the time. We have a hope because of the resurrection. Because we have an inheritance that is priceless. That doesn't change, that doesn't decay, doesn't fade away. In fact, it only gets greater. And I can't even imagine what it would be like to be in heaven. But I know that that inheritance that we see will be even greater the day we experience it. The resurrection isn't fake news. It is true. It is fact. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen. Folks, I would encourage you to watch this short 1 minute video. Please watch it. It will encourage you as well. God bless. Have a wonderful Easter. Coronavirus might keep us apart, but in spirit, we are together before the throne of God. God bless.